talking Toronto FC until we're red in the face. Or is that just face paint? This is TFC Pitchside on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Well, since my baby left me, will I find a new place to dwell? Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that heartbreak hotel.
It's good one into the box, and there they've done it again. Bradley Wright Phillips, a headed goal off a set piece again. They're continuing their performance from what they did a week ago against New York City FC.
It's crowded.
Wright Phillips looks for a shot, does it, scores! Well, if you had a bad feeling about this game when Jovinko went off, it's worse now. Bradley Wright Phillips! That's 10 straight goals New York Red Bulls have scored. 7 against New York City last week, and now 3 in the first half against Toronto. And Wright Phillips has them all.
It's a sea of red. This is TFC Pitchside with Dan Riccio and Thomas Michalakos.
They say Red Bull gives you wings, and the New York Red Bulls certainly had wings over Toronto this weekend. 3-0, the final, and we are here to break it down on TFC Pitchside. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong for your beloved Reds this weekend. Dan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos here to provide you some therapy as TFC is off until June 18th, at least in MLS play. They got the Voyageurs Cup on Wednesday.
Judging by the music to start off the show, it's going to be a very gloomy, very sad therapy that we're going to give out to each and every one of you.
Heartbreak Hotel in Harrisburg, New Jersey. That's that should be the theme of today's show, but we are not in Harrisburg, New Jersey, nor were we over the weekend. We will talk to somebody who was. Danielle Emmanuel was doing our sidelines for Sportsnet over the weekend. You heard Jerry Dobson on the call there. And Danielle obviously does a lot of work with TFC TV as well. So she'll join us, give us the lowdown on how the team is feeling in terms of what they're doing during this little mini slump that they are currently on. And obviously the injury to Sebastian Giovinco.
Scratching their heads, maybe?
Yeah, it's not good. When it rains, it pours. And basically, things have gone downhill ever since Jozy Altidor hurt himself while taking a penalty against Vancouver.
Yeah, and it's a domino effect because now Giovinco.
Yeah.
2 out of 3.
And Michael's obviously off with international duty at the Copa America. But let's break down the game. We'll get to the Giovinco injury. And as far as we know, it's not too serious. We'll probably get a further update tomorrow at TFC training. Though when he did have a similar injury last year, an adductor injury, I don't even know where my adductor is. I'm not a doctor or anything like that.
Or an athlete.
It didn't keep him out for too long. So that is a positive to take from this.
Another positive is that does anyone really care about the Canadian Champions League? Because that's 2 games that he'll have time to rest.
There are a lot of people who care about the Voyageurs Cup.
Do you really?
Yep.
You care about it?
It's not the Canadian Champions League either.
Whatever. You know what I mean.
Don't say that. This is your national cup. You should care about it.
I don't. I rather them focus on the MLS. Sorry, the MLS. I apologize.
Yes, you said the MLS again.
MLS. That's the most
MLS
important.
MLS is not an issue right now because they don't play in it until June 18th.
And that's what I'm saying. For Giovinco, it's great because he wasn't going to see the field anyways, right? So it's a little bit more.
He probably would have played Canadian Championship. Just Bill Manning was on our show.
When Bill Manning
was on our show, he didn't come out and say we definitely want to do everything we can to win Canadian Championship.
You would play Giovinco.
But they want to be in CONCACAF Champions League, and the only way to do that is to either win MLS Cup or
what's more important?
Win
what's more
the Canadian
important?
Championship.
Do you really care about the CONCACAF Champions League? It's not the Champions, it's not the UEFA Champions League.
All right,
League.
This is a debate for another day.
Yeah, you better put it on the back
maybe
burner.
Maybe next week when we will be talking about the Canadian Champions. The you're getting it into my head. The Voyageurs Cup games. All right, goal in the 4th minute comes off of a set piece. If you listen to the TFC Pitchside match preview, that was supposed to be priority number 1 was defending against set pieces for New York. So what did you see there that TFC got burned on?
Individual mistakes, and I think this is a reoccurring thing.
On all three goals?
Yes.
I agree.
Individual mistakes on all three goals. The first one, let's start there.
Yep.
How do you allow Bradley Wright Phillips an open header in your six from a set piece?
It's an individual mistake. Justin Morrow, who was ball side of Bradley Wright Phillips and had position on him before the kick came in, decided he was going to mark Sal Zizzo in front of him, even though Will Johnson was already kind of marking Sal Zizzo. And regardless, like, if Sal Zizzo scores a goal, okay, whatever. It happened.
Yeah.
Don't let their best player kill you, right?
Exactly. He should not have been open, and that leads to a bigger issue, which is communication, which is a growing theme in all three goals. So there's one.
Number two?
Number two, soccer 101, or football 101, depending on where you're listening to this podcast. As a defender, you never allow the player to cut inside on goal.
And that's another reoccurring thing that has happened over the last few weeks.
Exactly. You play it wide. The offensive player, if he scores, well done, because that's a hard shot to score from on the angle.
Right.
But you let him cut inside. Goalkeeper's worst nightmare. You're covered. You're screened by the defender. It goes through Drew Moore's legs. 2-0.
Yeah. And it happened with the Pedro Morales goal against Vancouver, and it happened with the Poku goal against New York City FC.
Loving the history that you have in your head.
Third
there,
goal?
Eh? Third goal. What happened there? It was a broken play.
Yep.
Kind of dumped it into the corner.
Another set piece, kind of. It was a set piece that ends up breaking down a little bit, exactly. Gets a little bit sloppy, and their positioning goes out of whack.
A little late to pinch up on the guy who was top of the circle. I can't remember who that player was for New York Red Bull.
Felipe, I think.
Might have been. Tosses it off to the corner. Now, they're already too slow to chase the ball out,
yep.
Set up their lines. That's slow. One mistake, poor communication. Second mistake, two players, Justin Morrow and Jonathan Osorio, running at Mike Grella, who's going to then cross the ball on a one touch to who was open again? Wide open.
Bradley Wright Phillips.
Individual mistakes, something that you know what you're supposed to do, but when you're not communicating with your teammates, these things happen. Discipline.
Fastest hat trick from the start of a game in MLS history for Bradley Wright Phillips, and he is on fuego right now.
5 of New York Red Bull's 11 goals in the last 2 games came off his foot.
He's been really hot.
Or his head.
And New York has been as well, winning 5 of their last 7. They have not given up a goal in their last 3. So, Greg Vanney, how do you respond to this? And here's what he had to say first. We'll let you listen in because Vanney breaks things down pretty well, as always.
We had prepared ourselves and talked as a group and worked this week on the start to the game and the importance of the start to the game and what we wanted to do. And we're left with some choices in the beginning of the game, and I thought we made the wrong choice. We tried to slip a ball underneath when the space was actually behind the back line early on. We turned that one over, and within 1 or 2 passes, it's a free kick just outside of our box. And then, you know, all week it's, again, working through and talking about set-piece defending. Obviously, they dropped 3, I think, in the previous game on set-pieces, so it's something that their service is very good, and guys get to good spots. And we were flat-footed, I thought, when the service came in, and so we found ourselves down quickly.
It was actually 5 that the Red Bulls scored against New York City FC. And look, this isn't something about Vanney, because, you know, I talked to Vanney last week at training, and he said it all the way in the lead up to the game. That was a big part of what they were going through last week, their preparation for this New York Red Bulls match. It's about execution on the field. It's on the players at that point.
Yeah, because you can drill them over and over and over and over. And yeah, in training, everything's working well, but in game situations, that mental lapse.
Yeah, and Morrow, and like I said, Morrow on the first goal, he's in good position, but he moves himself out of good position. So that's, to me, that's about execution on the player's part more so than on Vanny's part. Next, what Vanney had to say is about the offense, and we will debate this further after we hear from Greg Vanney and how things look without Sebastian Giovinco.
I thought we still got ourselves into some pretty dangerous situations and some chances, but unable to capitalize, and that's been a little bit of the season a little bit. If it's not Sebastian, then who is going to step up and put the ball in the back of the net? And, you know, the one I guess the one thing to take away this game was we had a number of guys who had opportunities to get out there and play and to try to get their chance to put one in the back of the net, and we weren't able to do it.
There is Greg Vanney. Yeah, I mean, look, you lose Jozy Altidore, and you've collected 2 of 12 points since then. It's not pretty. And Jovinko consistently being double-teamed, as we saw against Columbus, as we've seen in other games, there isn't that partner alongside him to deflect some of that attention that goes to Sebastian Jovinko like it does when Josie's around.
Look, they had chances. They've always had chances. They've created chances with Jozy, without Jozy. Now we're going to see maybe, possibly without Jovinko. They're there. They create it. There's just no finish. And that's another problem, let alone communication.
There was 6 Canadians on the field, though, in the second half.
Well, that's a good thing for Canada.
Well, that's a sign of why you can't finish, right? That's like the number one thing that Canadian soccer players cannot do.
So from what I see is there's no communication at the back so far. And up front, if you're not going to put away your chances, you're going to get burned because the other team, as we see here, is going to put them away. That's the problem.
And it's also like New York in the second half, they're down to 10 men. And Gonzalo Verón, you deserve the shame bell this week for just being an absolute idiot with your tackle there.
And the reaction was hilarious. Yeah, like, what? I'm a red card? What? Are
dumbfounded. Two-footed stomp. Yeah, that's pretty much a red card anywhere. So he was correctly sent off.
And shame.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, it's just, it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. You're up 3-0. Why do you go and do that? It makes absolutely no sense. But he gets sent off correctly, so good on Alan Chapman for doing so.
So there's more space now.
But New York, it almost felt like they knew there was nobody on the pitch that was really going to threaten them. And I know TFC got some chances, but even I felt like it's going to take a miracle for a goal to go in. And the penalty is the perfect kind of metaphor for what was going on with TFC at the time.
Yeah, nothing's going to go right.
Yeah, they score the goal. Will Johnson puts in the penalty. Didn't look all that confident doing it first time around, but it goes in, and Luis Robles doesn't go the right way. Has to retake it. And yes, I mean, there's like 6 players in the box at the time Will Johnson hits the penalty.
It's in the rules. It's a foul. I get that. You all get that.
But nobody ever calls it.
No one ever calls it. You see encroachment all the time. It's as if when a goalkeeper goes to kick the ball out of his net, out of his area, and they always step outside the 18-yard box. That's a call, too, but they never call it. It's one of those play-ons.
Yeah, exactly. And especially in a 3-0 game. Like, just let it go on, bud. But it didn't happen, and you can't fault the referee for making
the
call.
And it was a true penalty.
It's the correct call. And then Will Johnson has to take it again, and he looks even less confident that it's going to go in, and it doesn't. So it's tough, but in that sense, from there on, you just knew
the game
nothing,
is lost.
The game is nothing is going to go right. And there was brief moments. Jordan Hamilton had a chance here or there, and Moba Bouley had some nice little moves and stuff. But for the most part, it just wasn't all that great. Now I get people on Twitter saying, Moba Bouley's not an MLS-level player. This coming off of the week against Columbus, where he was by far TFC's best player on the field.
He's made 9 appearances in his senior career. 9 appearances. To rate him now is pointless.
Yeah.
Let him play a season. Tsubasa Endo, same thing. He's played 8. He's had 8 appearances. Sure, he scored a goal.
Who have you seen more out of, Endo or Babouli?
For me, Endo. Although Babouli has picked it up, it's not even about goals for Endo. I just find him more of a livelier player, and he gets along a little bit better with Jovinko and Altidore at the time. I'm rating him a little bit higher up. But to say he's either one of them is not an MLS player, they're rookies.
Yeah.
They are rookies.
I think we've seen what Moba Bouley is, in a sense that he is a highly skilled player. He's very good on the ball. He's technical. He can get past defenders one-on-one. But he's still got a lot of growing to do. And the only way he can do that is if he's getting playing time.
And the problem with that is he's a striker. Am I wrong?
Yeah, and he's their main option Sebastian or Jozy.
And that's the problem is that here's another TFC striker that isn't scoring. And without looking at all the other positives, that's what people are going to focus on is the negative. And it is a negative. When your strikers don't score, it's
a
problem.
Against
but
Columbus,
he's a rookie.
The problem against Columbus wasn't Mo Babuli. It was Sebastian Giovinco not scoring. But nobody's going to hammer him because he's been the be-all and end-all of this team for the more than a season at this point. But
and he scored eight goals.
Babuli gave Giovinco three good chances to score. So I think it's a little bit too harsh to start writing off Molan Babuli just yet. We'll get back to this conversation in just a second, but right now we are very happy to be joined by the lovely and talented Danielle Emmanuel, working with TFC TV and also doing our sidelines for Sportsnet. Danielle, how was your weekend in Harrisburg, New Jersey?
The lovely Danielle. That's such a good introduction.
Lovely and talented. Don't sell me short. I went above and beyond the adjectives.
I know. It was kind of bittersweet going to New York. I love going there personally. We were staying in Hoboken, and the view from the W Hotel there is absolutely incredible. And we took the train into Manhattan. That was on our day off on the Friday. But the game on Saturday, I mean, I'm sure you guys already talked about it. Bradley Wright, Phillips, three goals all within the span of 30 minutes, losing Sebastian Giovinco. It was like everything that could have gone wrong on that day did go wrong.
Yeah, you actually just said exactly what I said about 5 minutes ago. But that, exactly those words. So we're kind of living on the same mind frame right now. But in terms of, compare what, you're with the team all the time. You're on the road with them all the time. What was the mood like before the game, and compare it to what it was like after the game?
You know what? I don't know if there's a difference other than the fact that, I mean, there's a group, despite what people think from the outside, there's a group of guys in there that truly care about winning. This is not a team that's going out there expecting anything less than they're very competitive, and they were prepared for this matchup. Just everything was against them in that sense. Defensively, this team has what it takes to go up against the best of them in Major League Soccer. But right now, they're just being tested in terms of their depth with injuries. That's just killing them right now. And Greg Vanney was talking about it post-game. I think he said that the team is 4-1-1 when they're healthy. They don't have anyone to score right now. With Giovinco out, who's going to rise to the forefront? And that's what I'm kind of hoping to see out of this. Is it going to be a young player like a Mo Babuli or a Jay Chapman? Because someone needs to take this opportunity and run with it, and no one's done it yet.
Every team struggles with injuries, and I'm posing a question to you because we had this discussion before the show started. Do you find injuries are an excuse or a reason? Do you like hearing it from a manager in his post-match press conference?
I don't know if it's necessarily an excuse. It's a legitimate cause for concern, because especially if injuries are affecting your best players, well, the team is centered around that. Yes, it's the sum of all of their parts, but say, for example, a Giovinco, well, he's a focal point. When you're going up against other teams, well, they know exactly what Javinko's plan is going to be, how he's going to drive to the net. So they double team him. They triple team him. When you have Josie in the lineup, well, he's a big body. He'll distract from that attention. So when you don't have those players in the lineup, well, yeah, injuries is a big deal. So I don't think it's necessarily an excuse, but valid. Every team deals with it, like you're saying.
Danielle Emmanuel, our guest here on TFC Pitch Side. She's doing our Sportsnet sideline for all of our broadcasts this year. So, Danielle, you were on the road for the first eight games of the season, and it's a long, grueling road trip. But I guess you kind of got to see all the bonding that went around with the team, playing like Sports Jeopardy and different types of things to get the new group all together and get them acclimated with each other. And there was all these good vibes, and then they come home, and it was a bit of a tough stretch there. How do you feel they dealt with the expectations? So, basically on the road, there's no expectations, and then they come home, and all of a sudden they're expected to win every single game they play.
I don't know if I agree with that. I think the expectations were heightened this year. I mean, they made it to the playoffs for the first time in franchise history last season. So I think that the expectations were elevated even further this year. I mean, at the end of the season, Bill Manning came out and said, okay, I want 8 points from this eight-game road trip. Toronto FC exceeded that by getting 11 points. But coming home, I mean, it's a totally different thing. You're sleeping in your own bed. You're eating home-cooked meals. And you would think that those are all factors that work to your advantage. But when you become accustomed to playing 8 straight weeks on the road, it's a totally different style. And those are kind of the kinks that they've been working out right now. Can they finish in the final third? Can they all connect collectively out on the pitch? Growing pains.
Yeah, growing pains is right. I really liked your halftime interview with Jonathan Osorio. It kind of, you know, it really got exactly what you felt the team was feeling at the time. And that was sort of dejected with all the things that went wrong, and then especially with the Giovinco injury.
I mean, Jonathan Osorio, he's pretty much an open book, I would say. But just covering the team, this is my second season, not only with TFC, but now doing the Sportsnet stuff. If you ask Oso for an honest answer, he'll give it to you. And isn't that what you want from a player when you ask them a question? Because so often we criticize athletes for being cliche, and to see them kind of lift that veil and say what they're thinking in that moment, you appreciate it as a spectator, don't you?
Yeah, I definitely do. I'm never going to hammer a guy when he's being honest. And that's something I think a lot of us media folk do a little bit too often. So I got a two-pointed question for you, and then we'll let you go.
Okay.
One is for all of our TFC fan listeners who maybe want to make a road trip. Since you are always on the road with this team, what is the best place to visit? What stadium would you recommend the most?
That's hard. Okay, so I've been to 18 out of the 20 MLS stadiums. I have not been to San Jose yet, and I haven't been to Houston. I will be going there July and August. But Sporting Kansas City, Children's Mercy Park, has a crazy atmosphere. They don't call it the Blue Hell for nothing.
Yeah. Like,
their fans get into it. I think the greatest thing about it is I'm pretty sure they only have one supporter group, if I'm correct. I don't know if you can
verify
that.
Yeah, I think that is the case. I wouldn't know for sure, but I think that is the case.
Yeah, so they work together in unison. Their chants are something that just send chills down your spine, and they really get on top of you, especially like if you're a player out on the field during the game. The other one, Timbers Army, Providence Park. I have never witnessed anything like that before. Hands down, that is the best atmosphere. Major League Soccer, when they have Joey Timber, or their Timber Joey.
Yeah, stay away from the chainsaw, right?
Oh, I did not want to hear that thing go off that day. But it's super cool, and I would love to go back there.
And finally, we've kind of made it a thing on our show with all the different media snafus that happen at BMO Field.
Yes.
What is the best media story you might have from the road? You don't have to mention any names.
Media story. Oh, my God. You know who's so easy to pick on? And you could probably agree with me. It's Kurt Larson.
Of course, yes.
Oh, my goodness. So in D.C., I wanted to go for a jog, and Kurt had wanted to go work out as well. So he said, oh, I've been to D.C. quite a few times. I know my way around all the monuments. So Kurt was staying at a different hotel from us. So he said, okay, 6:30, I'll meet you in your hotel lobby, and then we'll go for a run.
Right.
Does he not show up to our hotel with, you know what, like those old man white Nikes, like your grandfather wears them, okay?
That's amazing.
His socks hiked up essentially to his knees, a skin tight t-shirt. I was like, Kurt, are you serious? What are you wearing right now? He's like, oh my God, you look like you stepped out of a Nike commercial. I'm like, we cannot be seen together.
That is so Kurt Larson. That's amazing.
He looked like he stepped out of the 80s.
Exactly. Ask him about hashtag move and wait. And that's all. I'll leave it at that.
Oh, we will. And I'm sure all of our listeners will enjoy that since they love trolling Kurt all the time anyways.
I know.
Danielle, appreciate you doing this with us. And we'll see you at training this week.
Thanks so much, guys. Really appreciate it.
There is Danielle Emmanuel. And you can follow her on Twitter at D, so D-E-E underscore Emmanuel, E-M-A-N-U-E-L-E. Always good to get a naughty media story. Since we didn't have one this week, we got you one from the road.
Yeah, but we'll have more
as
the season progresses. We're not going to stop this little routine that we have going.
No, I think it's becoming a thing on the show, isn't it? Dan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos, this is TFC Pitchside. At Dan Riccio 590 and at UnfitRef is where you can follow us. What do we want to do here? Should we throw to break or continue with some of this TFC stuff? We do want to talk about this excuse or reason thing and also a little bit more on Mo Babula. So we'll do all that after the break and maybe even take a listener phone call. That's all still to come. TFC Pitch Side.
Follow the guys on Twitter at DanRiccio590 and at UnfitRef. At iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Hey, it's Tesho Akindele, Canadian International, and you're listening to TFC Pitch Side.
Didier Drogba to take this restart. Final moments of this match. Drogba firing towards goal, right on the goalkeeper. He scores! And Montreal on the ball by Didier Drogba off the free kick.
Time has been lost for trying. We have been left outside.
Oh, Didier. Montreal getting a big 3-2 win over the LA Galaxy this weekend. Their first in forever, essentially. Yeah, basically. Dan Riccio, Thomas Mitsotakis. This is TFC Pitchside. Six-match winless streak for the Montreal Impact. Their first win with Drogba in the starting 11, Thomas.
Not surprised. I just wanted to see that look on your face when I said that.
First time they've defeated the Galaxy as well. I mean, look, we talked about this with Matt Doyle a couple of weeks ago, how, you know, Drogba doesn't have the same pace as Oduro does. And it kind of changed the way that Montreal played. You know how they looked so great early on in the season, and then Drogba came in and it kind of messed things up a little bit, messed up their identity a little bit. Maybe they're working through it. But I'll maintain this. Nacho Piatti is the be-all and end-all for Montreal, not Didier Drogba.
Yeah, take him out of the lineup. How good is Montreal?
I don't know. I really don't. I mean, it's the same as saying take Sebastian Giovinco out of the lineup and how good is TFC.
And that was the argument we had before, that design of the league is centers around DPs. So everyone's in the same situation.
Yeah, and it goes around the league, right? Like I think the Red Bull are probably still a pretty good team, even without Bradley Wright Phillips. They're certainly not bad with Gonzalo Verón out.
Hey, and
who's also a DP.
And look at the LA Galaxy too as well, right? You take out Gerrard and you take out Robbie Keane. I still think they have a good mix of players.
Yeah,
I can do the job. So it all has to do with your
academy.
Those
are kind of the, and Dallas as well, to an extent. Like, those are the three best academies in MLS. So and TFC is starting to be regarded as one of the best academies in MLS. It's not there yet. Like, the best players right now in TFC's academy are all pretty much 18 or younger. Like, that's Luca Uccello. That's Sam Hundal. That's Malik Jackson. Those are the three players that when I talk to people, those are the three guys they all mention.
And we say that the DPs, it's designed around the league. That's the status.
But
so it, like, really shows that your academy has to produce talent.
The way TFC is built right now, they are built to rely on their starting 11.
But every
when you start taking parts away from your starting 11, it really suffers. The way they want to move to is, yeah, you still put your money into your starting 11, but your depth comes from your academy. So you're not wasting $250K on Benoit Cheyrou, who's older and can't hack it all season long anymore.
Yeah, you'd rather
to be
get,
fair.
You'd rather get a guy that come in that makes 30,000 Canadian a year.
You know, paying basically DP money to Damian Parkey. Like, these are guys that are filling up the salary cap that TFC doesn't want to be doing so as much in the future. And as mentioned by Tim Bezbachenko on our very first show.
And that's why FC Dallas, LA Galaxy are a little bit ahead of the rest of the crop. Because right. they do that correctly.
Yeah, they do. And they have had the best and brightest academies for a long time. And the USL, as much as, you know, TFC2, Sam Hundal, the guy we just mentioned, he scored for TFC2 this weekend. And the results aren't really always there, but it's for them, it's not always about the results.
But then you look, we mentioned New York Red Bull, and New York Red Bull Academy is second in the league right now.
Yeah.
They're doing really well, and that's why their team, their main team, the yeah. senior team, is now playing better. You knew in the beginning of the season that that little lull they had of poor results, you knew that was going to change.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the other thing. You know, teams in MLS go through slumps. They do. And the Galaxy are going through it right now. The Red Bulls went through it early in the season. Dallas had their slump when they were here in Toronto. Now TFC is having their little slump. You think once guys get healthy, they'll come out of it, but at the moment, right now, they're fighting it right now, and that's the best way to put it. And they're going to continue to fight it if guys don't get healthy. And you know, I knew when Bradley wasn't available for this Red Bulls game, it was going to be tough. It was going to be a difficult match, and that's really where it all started, because New York, aside maybe more than any other team in MLS, has a very strong midfield, and you lose Bradley as your best midfielder, it's going to hurt. And that communication that you talked about in the first segment of this show, Thomas, a lot of that is about the captain, Michael Bradley. We'll take your phone calls, and we'll try to do this more so on a week-to-week basis. If you want to phone us, we do record the show, so you'll have to DM me on Twitter your number, and that's what Ivan has done today. Ivan, you're not too happy with the way things are going right now with TFC.
I don't think anybody is. Listen, I'm 50-50. It started great. And now the last four games, what, 2 points out of 12 possible points? It's a little sad. Feels like we're going back to where we started a couple of years back.
You think you're going back? I don't know
that's
about
harsh.
That.
That's harsh.
That's a bit harsh. I mean, it is a bit of a slump. And I know here in Toronto, as sports fans here in this city, we like to jump on the, oh my God, everything's going wrong
we're
again.
Used to failure, that's why.
But, you know, there were signs with the defense, and yeah, it's not been great the last few weeks. But there were signs showing that this team had taken a step forward. But I guess what you're kind of getting at is that what is this team without its star players?
Well, it's not just the star players. You look at any team around the league, and I think there's a couple of guys that you know, Dan, that disagree with what I said earlier today on Twitter, that, you know, any team in MLS, you take away their one or two of their best players and they're no good. But you look at teams that are good right now and even in previous years, and they have more than just those two, three guys. And I think this situation with TFC right now, where you take Josie out the door and Sebastian Jovinko possibly for a few games, Michael Bradley, and well, like, who do you go with in the front?
Yeah, you go with Mo Babouli because that's all that's there.
Yeah, but to me, it's not. It's the Mo Babouli situation. It's a soft point, I know, for a couple of guys, but I think it's a lot deeper than Mo Babouli. It goes into the FO, into Tim Bezbachenko, and I don't know if you guys got time to keep me on that long, but you look at guys like Hercules Gomez, and I know you have your opinions about him, Dan, but Hercules Gomez, they signed him last year in July.
Yeah, it was a mistake to sign him, Ivan.
Yeah, but I agree. Listen, but if they kept him until at least July of this year, when he would have left to do whatever he's doing, he's in Seattle now while TFC's paying the bill. If they would have kept him, they would have at least fielded him or Luke Moore. But instead, they're stuck putting guys like Mo Babouli on, who are taking... Listen, I don't know if TFC actually thinks that Mo Babouli is a good player or not. I personally don't think he's up to it. But I think they're fielding him because they have nobody else.
Well, Mo Babouli is
they have nobody else.
Mo Babouli's a rookie, right?
Right.
So it's hard to judge a rookie in his first season. Like Tubasa Endo, the same thing. Now, what I'm hearing is you don't rate the academy because we just previously mentioned that the academies of all the better teams, FC Dallas, Real Salt Lake, LA Galaxy, all these academies produce players, and it does take time. And
TFC are in the infancy of producing players. So you have to play these guys. You have to give them a chance, especially when they're rookies.
Sure, but it's like it's a two-sided thing. Because on one side, you have Tim Vez and you have Vanny coming in and bringing in guys like Sebastian Giovinco and Michael Bradley and Josie Altidore. And they're the highest paid players in the league. And they're saying, we want to win now. Meanwhile, on the back end of it, you're bringing in and you're fielding guys like Mo Babouli to start your games. And they're a project. But then you look at who has, since the academy been around, who has produced in the first team. Ashton Morgan, you know, he's debatable. He's been on the bench most of the time.
He's made 100 appearances.
Yeah.
Same with Jonathan Osorio.
Well, Oso's not really an academy player, but...
I'll touch on Oso in a second, but you look at Ashton Morgan, and they brought Ashton Morgan on as a substitute for Sebastian Giovinco.
Yeah.
Off your star player and you're putting in Ashton Morgan.
Yeah, maybe they should have brought in Jordan Hamilton there, but the club isn't really enthralled with the way that Hamilton's development has gone.
Right, but meanwhile you're keeping him on the roster. But you look at guys like you said, Jonathan.
Well, because he's free. He's not a cap hit. That's the thing with the homegrown players, right?
They brought in Jonathan Osorio a couple of off seasons back, and he goes on. Obviously, he wasn't very media trained, and he goes on in the off season and training camp, and he says a couple of things that maybe irked a couple of fans. And he's saying he's sounding a little bit arrogant, and fans were like, "Who's this guy think he is?" But he comes on and he performs, and he scores a great goal against LA, and everybody's mindset changed quickly on him, and he became an integrated part of the team. But now Babouli and Hamilton's been on the team for what? 2-3 years now. He's played maybe 2 games.
Well, yeah, and Hamilton, like, it just didn't work out. I mean, it's not working out so far, and he's got a long road to hoe. But I mean, at the time, they wanted to make him a senior player because there was interest from other clubs.
Yeah.
So that's why they wanted to keep him. But look, Ivan, we can continue this conversation another week, but we'll let you go and we'll continue talking about these subjects here on the show. Really appreciate you coming on. Look, with Hercules Gomez, it was a mistake to sign him. I didn't understand why they signed him when they did last year. It was like, let's just add another player because we can here before the window closes. And you already had Josie. You already had Seba. You already had Luke Moore. You had a whole bunch of guys already in that spot. And you wasted salary cap space, which now affects you for this year. And yeah, I mean, when they released Herc this year, it was because Mo Babouli earned that job in training camp in February, in March, before the season started. And to me, I have no issues with that. If a guy beats a guy for one roster spot,
1v1,
if he beats him out on merit through training camp, I like that the club gave that to Mo Babouli over Herc.
And he's an academy product.
And yes,
he's a cheaper option as well. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
And part of it was, yes, that Herc was on a bigger salary cap hit and the team was really struggling with the cap. But another part of it is that Mo really, really outperformed Herc in training camp. Look, I understand. It's like...
He's a striker that's not scoring.
We want to win now, but we're playing this guy who's never played in MLS before. And we're expecting to get results. I understand the mindset, but you also, to a certain extent, I mean, TFC kind of did know that they weren't going to have Josie and Seba at this point in time of the season, right? Because you thought Josie would be at Copa and you thought probably Seba would be at Euro, and that didn't happen, but he's injured now anyways.
Both are injured, so that's so even worse.
Either way, it hasn't worked out that way, and you're on to your third string striker in Mo Babouli.
Who's a rookie, so you don't expect him to score 10 goals.
No.
He's not Kyle Larin.
I do want to see something from him. And I think in the first game he played, I want to say it was KC, he came on and he was crazy. He was like a house on fire. He was taking shots from everywhere.
He was KC.
he was like a house on fire, and he just came on and he tried to do everything himself. And we've seen him mature since then.
Yeah, and his distribution, okay, it was a 3-0 defeat, and you're going to say now, how are you picking anything positive? But the best of the lot,
right,
was Mo Babouli, because at least he distributed the ball on corners, on crosses, going wide, crossing it in. There were good balls put into the box by Mo Babouli, just no one was there to score.
Is it an ideal situation?
No, of course not.
No, it isn't. Nobody is making that excuse. But I think we are putting too much on how much this affects the team long-term for the season. When they do come back on June 18th, As far as we know, Seba's going to be back because his injury is not that serious from what the club has told us so far.
What, Josie would be what?
Josie's probably back more towards mid-July, I would say.
Ooh, worse than I thought.
And Michael, you'll get back towards the end of June, early July. So it's not going to be that much of a burden. And from there on, that's when you want to start to see the team building towards the playoffs, gaining that, for sure, home game in the postseason, right? And that's goal number one of the season is get a home game. Goal number two is have a playoff run.
Win a game, too.
Well, yeah.
That would help.
That's what I mean by playoff run.
Whether it's home or
not. Earning a playoff home game is first and foremost. That's the first goal that this team has to hit.
Well, that's the obvious. When you start the season, you want to finish the highest you can. And yes, a home game would be great. I think every team is looking for a home playoff game. But the thing is I don't think, not the hatred, but just the frustrations would be that great from TFC fans if it wasn't for the first eight years. That's the thing.
And I think
give it a chance.
The main thing that Ivan's getting at there is Tim Bezbachenko hasn't been perfect with his signings. And I'm not going to be here and tell you that he has been, but he has provided a team that has won more than any other in TFC.
I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. What's the worst of the lot of his signings for you?
I think Herc is one of them. Certainly, it hasn't been great. He turns out to be a cap hit and a guy that didn't help out all that much last year, other than the one goal he did score against the Red Bull in that game where they didn't have three DPs. But yeah, Ben's producer Bozy is saying Ben Spencer, who I don't think costs anything to the club right now on the cap.
Zavaleta.
And right. Eric Zavaleta. We do see Ben Spencer doing like individual drills sometimes at training, like just solely with Danny Diccio.
Are they putting those on YouTube?
He is a big time project. And quite frankly, I don't think anybody at the club knows if he'll ever play again. Because that's how bad his injury has gone. We do wish him the best. I don't want to see anybody have their career cut short because of injury, but there's been a few, but at the same time, he's the guy who brought Sebastian Giovinco here, and Defoe didn't work out well either. I would have liked to see them keep Luke Moore, to be quite honest with you.
He took the words right out of my mouth. He could help right now.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Never mind Herc. I think they should have kept Luke Moore more than Herc.
That was the biggest mistake.
No, Joe Berto should not have been kept. Don't say that. He was a designated player. They only have three designated players. Yeah, he's still on the Hyundai commercials. And I was tweeting that great Trillium Cup picture with him and Defoe holding the Trillium Cup in TFC.
Yeah, it's Defoe's only trophy a cup right now.
So good. Let's go rapid fire here with Do the MLS Minute.
The MLS Minute.
All right, we're going to go rapid fire here. DC United, despite having their flight delayed to KC, still get the win 1-0 at Children's Mercy Park. KC is bad. One win in their last 10 games.
Very surprising.
Five points of a potential 30. Vancouver at Houston play to a 1-1 draw. That's got to feel like a loss for Vancouver because Houston's really bad.
Yeah, and they didn't have their manager, Owen Coyle, and mutual consent. I think he was feeling a little homesick. That's what I'm reading in the reports. And three assistants taking over for Houston.
Yeah.
No timetable for a new manager. So.
Foreign managers do not work in MLS. There's another another example.
Mo Johnson?
Columbus 4-3 over Real Salt Lake. Ola Kamara couldn't score against TFC, but he gets a hat trick against Salt Lake as RSL get more goals from Joao Plata and an assist as well. New England 2-1 over Seattle. The Sounders and Hercules Gomez not doing so well, are they?
No, as surprised I am with Philadelphia, who we'll get to, Seattle's just awful.
Yeah, they're not great. And another team that's missing some of their better players right now, Clint Dempsey, obviously not with them. Chicago and Portland finish in a 1-1 draw. Diego Valeri scores once again for the Portland Timbers as he is one of the better players in MLS, as I've been saying for quite some time. Colorado, Philadelphia, they finish in a 1-1 draw.
Sam Cronin getting the goal.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Former TFC man, of course. Colorado still undefeated at home. But that's another team. Like, without Jermaine Jones and without Shelks and Gashi, who are they? we're going to see over the next couple of weeks with the Colorado Rapids how much they can stick at the top of MLS's perch. Thomas, this has been a lot of fun.
As always.
At Dan Riccio 590, at Unfit Ref. Thanks to Danielle Emmanuel for joining the show. Producer Bozy, you wanted to say something in my ear? All right, we're going to do a roundtable. Next week, we'll talk about the Voyageurs Cup. We'll talk about a lot of things, how this early part of the season has gone.
And if you want to be on the show.
Well, not next week.
Well, in the future.
In the future. We want to take more of your phone calls, just like Ivan did today. So get in touch with me on Twitter, at DanRiccio 590, at UnfitRef. And let us know if you do want to be a guest here on TFC Pitchside. For producer Bozy, for Thomas Michalakos, and me, Dan Riccio, this is TFC Pitchside.
Keep telling me this and telling me that. You say once you take me with you, I never go back. Now I got a lesson that I wanna teach. I'ma show you that where you from, no matter to me. She said, hola, come on, stop. She said, konnichiwa. She said, pardon my French. I said, bonjour, mada. Then she said, sabase. And I said, nabule. No matter where I go, go. You know I love them all. She said, hola, come on, stop. She said, konnichiwa. She said, pardon my French. I said, bonjour, mada. Then she said, sabase. And I said, nabule.